Nehemiah 5 and verse 7. Nehemiah 5 and verse 7. I already went through much of chapter 5, the first part of chapter 5, talking about the poor and the crime of the brethren taking advantage of their situation. And, you know, we should always be concerned about not taking advantage of people in any way, shape, or form. But Nehemiah was, of course, the Bible says in verse 6, he said, "I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words." He was angry when he found out that the poor had been taken advantage of. He was very upset about that. And but I couldn't help but notice verse 7 as I studied through this. And he said something that I wanted to preach about tonight. He said, "Then I consulted with myself." In other words, he said in verse 6, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words, then I consulted with myself." And I want to talk to you tonight about those words, "I consulted with myself." Father, I pray you bless the preaching, that you will speak to our hearts, that, Lord, we will get what we need tonight from your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, "I consulted with myself." That got my attention immediately when I thought about it. He was very angry. Now, he was very angry. It could have said, "So I shot everyone." It could have. "I was very angry and I chewed everyone out." It could have said that. But he says, first of all, he said, "I consulted with myself." You know, how many lives would be different today had you, when you got angry, had you consulted with yourself before your mouth spoke? Had you, when you got angry, had you consulted with yourself before you committed the action? In fact, just about any area of our life, had we stopped and paused a little bit and maybe consulted with ourselves, it might have saved us some serious trouble. In other words, he talked to himself. Do you ever do that? You ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time, and different things and like that. And here it worked very, very well. He was angry, and he could have said or he could have done something very wrong. And ultimately, it would have been not taking care of the problem. Right would not have taken place, as we know from reading the passage, that right does take place. But the problem, listen to me now, the problem had to be dealt with. And because the problem had to be dealt with, he talked to himself instead of exploding. He talked to himself, he consulted with himself, instead of just carrying out, maybe wringing somebody's neck. He consulted with himself first, because the problem had to be dealt with. Somebody could say, "Well, he really told them off." But if he told them off and the problem never got dealt with, then there'd still be sin in the camp. Are you listening? Yep. Had he chewed them out and not dealt with the problem, there would still be sin in the camp. The people would still be taken advantage of. But he consulted with himself, and that way the problem was dealt with and victory was achieved. Sometimes we just need to talk to ourselves. Sometimes we need to stop and consult with ourselves. And I've written down some points about that. Number one, consult with yourself when you need to be talked into doing right. Consult with yourself. You know, the area of salvation. I remember before I got saved, I was talking to myself. You've heard the story how I heard a message on the second coming of Christ and then left the service. Brenda and I were dating at the time, and she went upstairs to do something. You know, you never know. When a girl goes upstairs to do something, it takes hours. You just never know. I mean, you really don't. But I was waiting, and it seemed like a long time to me. But the whole time in my mind, I was thinking about Jesus coming, and I was going to be left behind. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me, "He's come." Now, that's how God used that. It's amazing. She was gone. It was quiet. And I was trying to leave, and I was going to drive back home, which is about 45 miles away. And it took all that time. And all of a sudden, it hit me. And I stopped, and I started talking to myself. Everyone's gone. She's gone. Her family's all gone. They're all Christians. I'm lost. I'm left behind. And I mean, when she finally did come back, it scared me to death. But I had already convinced myself that I was lost and I was going to hell and I would have been left behind. I got in my car. In fact, I don't even remember saying goodbye. I got in my car. I was in tears. And I drove those 45 miles. Took me 2.5, 3 hours. Pulled over many, many times along the side of the road. I was crying so hard. I had talked myself into getting saved. And when I got home, I did finally trust Christ as my Savior. You know, I said things like this. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, no, I don't really want to go to hell. You don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire, do you? No, I really don't want to do that. You do want to go to heaven, don't you? Yeah, I really do want to go to heaven. You know, maybe if you're not saved tonight, you ought to talk yourself into getting saved. Maybe you ought to consult with yourself about that. Consult with yourself when you need to be talked into doing right. Consult with yourself in the area of salvation, the area of how about a spiritual decision? You know, many times when there's an invitation going on, I'll say, you know, you're going to feel bad if you don't make this decision. You're going to feel bad because God laid it on your heart. You're going to feel bad that you didn't go forward. You're going to feel bad that you didn't make that decision. You're going to feel bad that you didn't pick up that mantle. You're going to feel bad about telling God no, about grieving the Holy Spirit, about quenching the Holy Spirit. You're going to feel bad about that. You know, talk yourself into making those good decisions. Amen. You know God wants you to do this. Many times I will sit and wrestle. Brother Williams was here and there were different things, you know, as he's preaching and God always deals with me like that. And I'm talking to myself. You know that what's the right thing to do here. You know what you ought to be doing. You know you're not right. Well, yeah, but what do people think? What? You're the preacher. You know, you're supposed to not care what people think. And you just consult with yourself. Talk yourself into doing right. Amen. Amen. Consult with yourself in the area of salvation, in the area of spiritual decision. Consult with yourself in the area of service. You know you should. You know, you're about ready to, it's Thursday night and I don't feel like going soul winning. I don't feel like telling anybody. And talk yourself into it. You know you should. You know you're going to, yeah, but I feel bad. But you'll feel better when you go. You always do. You always do. And we know that. And folks that go soul winning, I mean, any time you stay home, you feel rotten the whole evening. Right? But then when you go, and even if somebody slams a door in your face, even if you get cussed out, even if you know, whatever, the dog chases you or whatever, you're so glad you went. Boy, you know you did the right thing. Tell yourself that before you don't do it. Amen. Consult with yourself when you need to be talked into doing right. Number two, consult with yourself when you need to be talked out of doing bad. You know, not a bad thing to stop. I mean, here you are. You're ready to do wrong. And how about saying this to yourself? Remember what happened the last time? Boy, every one of us could stop and talk to ourselves. Now, we may not like it when other people talk to us. You know, teenagers hate it when their parents say, yeah, remember what happened last time? Oh, you know, they don't want to hear that right then. Well, why don't you remind yourself what happened last time? Why don't you remind yourself about how you got burnt the last time you sinned? Why don't you remind yourself about the punishment? Why don't you remind yourself about how bad you felt when you did wrong? See, consult with yourself. You are a good person to consult with because you know you. And you remember. Consult with yourself when you need to be talked out of bad things. Number one, consult with yourself when you need to be talked into doing right. Consult with yourself when you need to be talked out of doing wrong. Number three, consult with yourself when you're emotional. Oh, nothing gets us in more trouble than our emotions. Not just women. I know we men think that. Men are very emotional too. And when we're emotional, I'll tell you what, if you find yourself saying, I don't feel or I do feel, look out. You better stop and consult with yourself and make sure this is something good. Make sure you're about to do something right. Notice 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I bring my body into subjection. I don't just go by what I feel. I don't make my decisions based on how I feel. I don't act based on how I feel. And so when there's an emotional situation going on, it's a good time to stop and consult with yourself. That's what Nehemiah faced here in Nehemiah chapter 5. He had emotional anger build up in him, and he was angry. Now, he was right to be angry, and there is a righteous indignation. He was right within the bounds of where his anger was allowed to be. But understand how those boundaries can be crossed very quickly with our anger. How those boundaries can Moses often showed a righteous kind of an anger. And he often showed an anger that was okay and it was right as he stood before Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And he was angry at times and he was angry over the response of Pharaoh. But we also know Moses was one that sometimes in his anger he crossed over the boundaries. One time he crossed over the boundaries and he killed an Egyptian man. Another time he crossed over the boundaries and he disobeyed God in reference to smiting the rock. And so we need to understand that any emotion, whether it's anger or any emotion, we need to stop and consult with ourselves because our emotions, they are very deceptive sometimes. Again, Jesus was, in reference to anger, Jesus was angry when he cleansed the temple. But he had a righteous anger. He had an anger that was okay, an anger that was within bounds. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Look at it, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. You say, "Boy, I'll tell you what, I get angry at my kids." And you know, there is a righteous kind of an anger there that when there is sin present, And there is something that certainly you are allowed to. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not." So you can be angry without sin, but understand you can be angry and sin. And your anger can lead to sin. That's why it's always good to consult with yourself. Stop. Stop. You know, here Poindexter does something absolutely wicked. You know, I mean, they have broken one of your things in your house. And you're mad. I mean, you are really upset. Now, you need to stop and consult with yourself. Okay, it's okay. Oh, I can't believe they did that. Yeah, okay, well, you don't do something as bad. Amen? I mean, that's, it is so good. Don't get me wrong here. It is good for leaders to show anger at sin. There is nothing wrong with that. We need it. I mean, that's why the right kind of preaching, there's going to be a little bit of anger in there. There's going to be, when somebody does wrong, there needs to be that balance. And it's good for leaders to show anger at sin. It inspires the leader, but it also deters others from sin. It's good. But understand, don't cross the boundaries in your anger. You know, I get frustrated when I see parents yelling at their children. I think you've crossed the boundaries. The typical thing and the illustration I use because it's in the stores all the time. Go to any store any time of the day. Just spend a few minutes and this will happen, and it'll go like this. "Throckmorton, I told you, you cannot have that item." "I want the item! They have the candy!" "I told you, Throckmorton, you're not getting any candy. Now, be quiet. Don't say another word." "I want the candy!" "I told you, stop yelling." "I want the candy! I said be quiet!" Any store, after the service, all you have to do, by the fair, what a perfect time. What a perfect time of family bliss. You want to see what I just said? You go to the, you will see it over and over and over. And all of a sudden, a parent is throwing the bigger fit because they cross the bound. They cross the boundary. And that's why we need to consult with ourselves when we are emotional. You know? We need to stop. And just say, okay, I need to handle this thing right. Let me show you some verses. Proverbs 16, verse 32. This is just talking about anger here. Proverbs 16, verse 32. And again, Nehemiah, do you understand? He had to deal with a problem here. Okay? He had to deal with a problem. The problem was the people were taking advantage of the poor. The rich were taking advantage of the poor. He had to deal with that problem. Him exploding and throwing a temper tantrum is not going to take care of the problem. Do you know that often you exploding and having a temper tantrum is not going to take care of the problem with your child? Do you understand? Couples, you exploding and yelling and calling her names or calling him names, that isn't going to take care of the... Let's deal with the problem. That's why you have to stop and consult with yourself. You have to consult with yourself. You know, a husband and wife are having a hearty discussion. And okay, consult with yourself. Is it worth it to ruin the afternoon? Is it worth it to ruin the evening? Is it worth it to ruin our day off? Is it worth it for the kids to hear all this? Is it and consult with yourself. And talk about to yourself, is it really worth me proving my point here? Boy, it'll save you a lot of trouble. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. You know, if you rule your spirit, that's the key right there. You know, because that anger, it's okay to be angry, but the Bible says sin not. Sin not. So to rule your spirit is to consult with you. Okay, time to settle down now. Oh, I'm so mad. Okay, you're almost too mad. Now you need to settle down. And talk to consult with yourself. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That's to just let it go every time. Well, you know, I have an anger, it's just uncontrollable. Then you're not right with God. You need to get it under control. And the one of the ways to do it is consult with yourself when you are emotional. I'm talking about that with anger. How about with love? Love, you choose to love someone or a Christian kind of love where you're trying to be selfless to somebody. I'm just talking about that L-U-V with a little, you know, love kind of stuff. Huh? It's when you really have affection toward someone. And boy, you better watch out. You need to watch out. Because, see, that's when the guy says to the girl, well, if you love me, you would. See, and so she starts to think. Now, young lady, you need to consult with yourself. Amen. Where's the amens? I mean, you need to stop. You need to stop and pause and say, but I really care about him. But listen, consult with yourself, because if he really cared about you, he wouldn't say that. He would never say that if he really cared about you. Now, we have to be careful in this area of our emotions. Love is so powerful, and we'll do, you know, I'll swim the deepest ocean, I'll climb the highest mountain, you know, and all these kind of things. Okay, consult with yourself before you try. Okay, stop and consider some things. All right, we see this. You know, a guy says, "I'm gonna sell everything I have to buy her the most beautiful ring." And come on, okay, that's not very practical. Okay, let's think through this a little bit. I'm gonna go into debt to buy her this thing because I'm in love with her. Okay, be careful. Be careful. You know, consult with yourself. You know, a lot of young couples get in huge trouble because of that very thing right there. You know, well, I love her and I want her to have everything, and I want her to have what mom and dad have, and mom and dad didn't have that when they were your age. Okay, stop and consult with yourself and go through this thing and say, all right, let's overcome this emotion. Let's not make an emotional mistake. Another emotion that we need to consult ourselves on is when we're weary. We do a lot of stupid things when we're weary. We really do. I mean, seriously, you know. Sometimes when you're weary, you might need to just kind of inspire yourself, you know. Oh, I'm just too tired to go on. I'm exhausted. And you need to quote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can keep going. And you know, when we're weary, we shouldn't make a lot of big decisions. And we need to be very, very careful what we say when we're tired. More people get in trouble because they're tired. They're weary. And emotionally, they're drained. And we need to be very, very careful and consult with ourselves. Always have the protection in your life where you'll consult with yourself. When you're tired, when you're weary, when you're emotionally drained. How about when you're discouraged? You know, David knew how to consult with himself. The Bible says when he was discouraged, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm talking about when nobody else wanted to encourage him. Everybody else wanted to kill him. What are you going to do then? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll eat worms. Well, you can eat worms, but it ain't going to help with the problem. See, that's the thing about all those cute little sayings. That does not take care of the problem. What you need to do is consult with yourself and say, okay, if no one else will encourage me, I'll encourage me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. God's my Father. I'm His Son. And you just go through the whole thing and you can get encouraged pretty fast. I'm still alive. And I'm not dead. By the way, those two always work well together. And you can encourage yourself. Consult with yourself. Instead, what do? We lock ourselves in a room, we lay on our bed, and we pout. And what got accomplished? Now, if Nehemiah does that, nothing gets accomplished. Okay? If Nehemiah explodes, nothing gets accomplished. But he consults with himself, and he deals with the problem. You understand? The problem, the issue at hand, that's what has to be dealt with. And when there is emotion, we need to consult with ourselves. How about when there's sorrow? Sorrow. You need to talk about the positives. I spent a couple of weeks talking to our teenagers and had them bring out some of their own statements in reference to, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, in reference to Brother Varnum and his situation. Now, we've certainly talked about some of those things ourselves, but it was so good to hear our teenagers give some testimonies themselves of what possibly could be good. How can good come out of this? And it was a very good thing. Now, I hope they'll hold on to those things, because someday you're going to have to talk yourself into some good when it's bad all around you. And you're going to have to understand how to pick out and find the good, because that's what you're going to have to hold on to when it seems that all is sorrow in some of the valleys. And you know what? When you're emotional, you make bad decisions. When we're emotional, we say wrong things. When we're emotional, we are a terrible testimony. That's why we always should have that check in our lives where we'll say, okay, all right, I'm about to do something. I know I'm about to do something stupid. I'm going to feel good doing it. By the way, when you explode and yell at somebody, you always feel good at the time. But boy, you feel bad afterwards. Ugh. You know, that'll show them. I can't believe I just did that. You know, and stop and consult with yourself when you're emotional. You see, Nehemiah needed rational thinking, not a rash demonstration. Are you listening? Most of the time, we need some rational thinking. And when we're living emotionally, we're not very rational. It's just based on how we feel and what's going to make me feel good right now. By the way, that's why there's so much immorality going on, because of a rash decision that we think is going to feel good right now, and we totally disregard the circumstances down the road. Are you listening? It's what David did when he committed adultery. He didn't think about Amnon. He didn't think about Absalom. He didn't think about Tamar. He didn't think about the little baby that would be born. He didn't think about all the lives that would be messed up because of his one time when he emotionally made a decision. If he'd have just consulted with himself, you know, this isn't a good decision. You know, this is going to lead to problems. It always does. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. It always does. And we need to have rational thinking. The whole idea here is to convince yourself to do right and not to do wrong. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words, but he didn't do something rashly. Instead, he consulted with himself and he made a good choice. Number four, consult with yourself to know yourself. Look at Psalm 4, verse 4. You know what? It wouldn't hurt any of us to get to know us. It was deep. Psalms 4 and verse 4. A lot of verses about this, but I'm just going to look at a couple of them. The Bible says, stand in awe and sin not. Notice what he says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Steal. Steal. Be. Anyway, not a stealer. But get to know you. Get to know you. Commune with your own heart. Well, what is that? It's consulting with myself. That's, I want to get to know me. And again, you say, preacher, people think we're weird. Well, nobody's there. It's not like, you say, well, bless God, I'm always spending time in prayer. You're a liar. No, you don't. That sounds pious. You know, all those quiet times, talk to yourself. It's okay. You know, get to know you. What are my goals? What do I want to see happen? What should I be doing? Get to know you. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. That's a perfect time. You lay there. You know, what can a sheep do for you? You say, what are you talking about? You count sheep. Why? Talk to yourself. You put others to sleep. I mean, talk to yourself and get to know you. Commune with your own heart. Get to know you. Psalm 77, verse 6. Psalm 77, verse 6. The Bible says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. That's so good. You know, I commune with my own heart. When is this? He says, it's my song in the night. And the night often in the Psalms is talking about a bad time. Night is darkness. Darkness is many times where there's fear. And he says, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. What a great opportunity at night to just search yourself and talk to yourself about things that are in your heart and things, desires, your vision of what you want to see. Sin and the willingness to get it right with God. Just real quick, let me give you some other verses. These are more familiar verses. 2 Corinthians 13. And go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 11 first. 1 Corinthians 11, we use this every month as we have the Lord's Supper. Verse 28, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. That's a good way to examine yourself. Ask yourself some questions. Consult with yourself. Are you right with God? I mean, honestly, before the Lord's Supper, we all ought to do that. It says, examine yourself. Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Is there anything that would keep me from being able to take the Lord's Supper? A tremendous question tonight. Ask yourself, would I want to follow me? Would I want anybody else to follow me? These are good questions to talk to yourself about. And a good search. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I mean, that's a good test. Do you know that? Do you know He's in you? Do you? I mean, tell me about yourself. I'm amazed how many people don't even know themselves. Seriously. How many people have no clue about what you really are and what makes you tick and why you think the way that you think? Because you ignore yourself. And we need to consult with ourselves to know ourselves and to have some idea of what we need in our lives, what we need to study, what we need to read, what we need to pray and talk to God about. How else could we not know the request if we have not consulted ourselves about it? Lamentations 3 and verse 40, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Consult with yourself to know yourself. Number 5, consulting with yourself is no substitute for consulting with God. I'm not telling you not to pray. You know, I think the more you consult with yourself, the more you will pray. I think the more that I talk to myself and consult with myself, the more I realize how much I need God. Consulting with ourselves is no substitute for consulting with God. I always go back to the passage about the publican and the sinner, and And the publican, the Bible says he prayed with himself. And I often think, that was sure a waste of time. It is no substitute for talking to God. It is no substitute for walking with God and daily spending time with God. But we still need to consult with ourselves at times. But it is no substitute for consulting with God. Consulting with ourselves is no substitute for action. You know, we could consult with ourselves and never get anything done. You know, when you know what to do, then you need to do it. When you know what is right to do and you know it is right, then that's when you need to do it. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But I love when they are confronted about that thing and how they said, you know, we are not careful to answer thee. You know what that means? That means they know it's just time to take action. None to think about, nothing to talk about. This is what God says. We're going to take our stand on what God says. Amen. It is no substitute for action when we know what to do. For example, I don't need to consult with myself about whether to read my Bible or not. I know I need to read my Bible. So rather than spending a whole lot of time, unless I got to talk myself into it because I'm carnal, but instead of spending a whole lot of time talking about it, I just need to read it. I know I'm supposed to pray. That's very clear in the Scripture. So instead of spending a whole lot of time talking about it, I just need to pray. Amen? Now, I might have to talk myself into it because I'm carnal. You might have to talk yourself out of watching something and getting on your knees and praying, or out of watching something and reading your Bible. But once you know, okay, I know I need to read my Bible, I'm going to read, then okay, now it's time to do the action. Same with soul winning, same with the bus route, same with things we're supposed to do. Amen. Number 7, consult with yourself and others. Boy, that's important because there's wisdom and there's safety, the Bible says, in a multitude of counsel. See, I'm a counselor for me, but other people are counselors for me too. God says, lean not upon your own understanding, all right? I need to talk to other people too. And you do too. Consult with yourself and others because there's wisdom and there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I just think about Nehemiah. He was very angry when he heard their cry in these words, but he didn't kill people. He might have wanted to wipe them out. He might have wanted, I'll teach them. But instead he took care of the problem because he stopped and he consulted with himself. The last thing, number 8, don't consult with yourself if the consultation is sinful. Sometimes we talk ourselves into wrong things. And we need to be careful about that. We know when our thoughts are going the wrong way. We know when we're headed for trouble. We know when those thoughts... Look at Psalm 39, verse 3. Psalms 39 and verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Now, musing is thinking. That's why the word amuse, the little letter ah, means not. Amusement is not thinking. That's why we like amusement over school. Because thinking is work. But understand, amusement and most amusement, you don't have to think to do it. All right, you just do it. And it may be fun. It's not necessarily wrong. It's just not thinking. But here he says, while I was musing, the Bible says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. And this whole verse here, it's talking about an example of like a compost or a vegetable pile of rotted vegetables or compost. Most of us would know that as a pile of compost, weeds and everything all piled up. In the middle of that, it's all starting to ferment and it's starting to get hot inside. And it could very easily spark and catch on fire. And that's what he's saying, within me it's hot, and the more I muse, the more that ferments and the more it's building up. And he said, finally, I spoke. Well, notice verse 1. He said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He said, I've decided I'm going to keep my mouth, but he lost control. Now, sometimes you can muse and think and you can ponder and you can talk yourself into doing great things for God. Certainly this verse can go that way too. And the fire of the Word of God can burn within us and it can come out. But I'm just saying we have to be careful because we can talk ourselves also into bad things. And sometimes our musing will lead to fusing, which will lead to bruising, which will lead to losing. That's a good message. Write it down. You can preach it sometime. I can just hear that in chapel sometime this year. Well, I don't know where I got this, but it was good. But anyway, and we'll get ourselves in huge trouble. You know, when you sit during church and think about different ways to sin and different things you're going to do and different things after church and different ways to get away with things and different people you're going to call and things you're going to do and sneak around and your parents don't know about it or the pastor doesn't know about it or nobody else knows about it. And I'm going to, well, I can't wait to get on the internet. I can't wait to get on this TV show. Can't wait to do this. And you're musing and you're, you know, that's a fire inside you and you're just causing it to eventually erupt. Be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. In that case, you say, what do I do? You need to stop and you need to say, God, help my thoughts be what you want them to be. Let me close with this. Psalm 139, you should know that we would end up there. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalms 139 and verse 23. And well, we know these verses, but it's so important because whatever we do, you know, consulting with myself is no different than me consulting with Brother Kelvin. I mean, our conversation should be pure. Our conversation should be right. Our conversation should be biblical. They should be holy. We should talk about things the right way. We should talk about the right kinds of things. Well, you know, I should do that with myself. And so I come to the ultimate person to judge all of the conversation that I have. And I just simply say, search me, O God. You know, Nehemiah could consult with himself because he had said, God, I want to please you. I want these walls to be built because I believe this is your will for my life. It is your will for your people, God. And you've let me be the leader of this thing. God, I want to please you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I'll tell you, you will protect yourself. God, lead my thoughts so that when I consult with myself, I will lead me to do right. I will always lead me away from sinful things. I will always lead myself to the right decision that is going to take care of the problem. And I promise you this. If you and I will do that, if we would get on our knees tonight and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And God, I'll get it right with you tonight. I want my mind pure. I want my thoughts pure so I can go to the counselor that is with me all the time. So I can go to the cheer-upper that's with me all the time. So I can go to the one who knows me as almost as well as you do, God. And I can go to them at any time. And I can get the kind of help I need to do the right thing. Or as Joshua said, and I believe the theme, do the hard thing. Because most of the time, the right thing is the hard thing. But you know, if you consult with yourself, and yourself is right with God, you'll do the right thing. You'll talk yourself into it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Boy, if we could just take that pause when the emotions are running high. Just take that pause. Consult with ourselves. If we could just come to the Lord and we could say, Lord, search me and know my heart. And God, if there's wicked things in me, I don't want to talk myself ever into wickedness. I want to talk myself into righteousness.